Welcome to episode 154 of the Better Was Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong, and I'm joined by a man who, look, he is starting to knock some good runs together. There's some sessions, there's some long runs, possible rumor of joining a gym as well for some strength work, but we'll touch on that a bit more later. Zach and Newman, how's things, mate?
Things are going well, Chris. So you got your ear to the ground. You seem to have a few things come across your desk. So, yeah. I don't know if they're all true, but I'm definitely making some progress. So heading in the right direction. So yeah, look forward to chatting about that, mate. And you had some big sessions. So keen to chat about that. We've also got on this episode another special guest, a returning guest.
Mm.
And a bit of a bat brother in arms for you, mate.
Oh, that's it. I mean, we were due for someone from Bendigo on, I think. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so it's going to be cool to chat to that guest around the grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty exciting, pretty cool things. Some things happening locally in your neck of the woods, but also up in Brisbane. There was a pretty cool event that one of our legends did extremely well at. So, yeah, we'll chat about that as well, mate.
Then events coming up too. We've got a few of those.
Mate, it is. I don't know if you're sensing it, Chriso, but a bit of a running boom. I don't know. I mean, Sydney Marra, Melbourne Marra being, I think we spoke about it last week, about Melbourne Marra, the, you know, reaching capacity. You've got Sydney going for that world major. You've got a bunch of new events coming on board, and we're going to chat a bit later about a returning event. You've got, yeah, obviously, where events we're involved in with Shepparton Running Festival coming up, Wellness Run, and that'll be around the, you know, in December. So there's heaps of stuff going on.
And even I think I saw somewhere across the socials over the weekend, Sydney Marathon, 14,000 entrants to the marathon.
Yeah, it's and then I there's all even a few extras sort of just popping in off the back of Melbourne as well, going, oh, can I just change things and just get around, because I'm not going to be able to get into a marathon, but I might just tweak it. Might not be in the shape I want at that time, but I'll get a good experience and maybe help Sydney get it across the line.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's exciting times. Well, who would have thought that we'd be getting event fields with over 10,000 participants in a marathon and having, you know, other big marathons selling out, sort of, and not just in the week before the event too. But we're talking 3 months out. Yeah. So no, it's amazing.
The knock-on effect is going to be huge. Starting to see it. And crazy thing is, we're not even talking about City to Surf, which is on this weekend. Next weekend, I should say. And they'll have 80,000 people there. 80,000, biggest, is it the, I think it's the world's biggest fun run. I don't know if it's got the beta breakers. That used to be like 100,000, but I think it's got it covered. I should know that, but it's huge. And yeah, take me over the streets of Sydney and an event that iconic event. And yeah, we're just seeing it across the board. So much excitement in the world of running.
And how it should be too. It's the world's best sport, isn't it? Let's be honest. Yeah, and we're being very straight down the line and not biased at all with that opinion. So,
are you seeing it on a local level, even in your area, Chriso, on the paths, or is it still, you're still waving to the same people?
Yeah, probably still waving to the same people. I wouldn't say it's probably had the same flow-on effect regionally here in Shepparton. I know, Bendigo could be a completely different story, but it's sort of a lot of the same people, and I'm probably finding the amount of people. So there's been a bit of a bit of a change in a culture shift, I think, at the Runners Club, where it was very, very recreational based, where probably the primary thing that people were concerned with was parkrun. And whilst there definitely still is a big element of that, I think there's a lot heavier interest in participating in fun runs now. So, that 10K half marathon, super popular, the halves at the moment, and also the marathon that People are really wanting to get more into structured training, look at sort of following a bit of a plan and having a goal of it, whereas previously it was kind of, well, Tuesdays and Thursdays are our social night and we do a bit of faster stuff on a Tuesday and then we rock up at park run and then that's another fun day as well. Yeah. And that was it. There was no long run or, adding those sorts of things in. But, yeah, I think that's probably, there's just been a bit of an attitude shift in that sense, which, we're getting, as you've seen, like we've been to an AV event this year and that was well supported. We've got the running festival and, look, I'd say of the, I think we're up around 90 active members at the moment. Probably 3/4 of those will participate in different events. And a lot of those are doing either the half or the marathon. So, even our man, Phil Podry, Phil, who will be 81 by the time the running festival rolls around, he's going to run his first half marathon for about 20 odd years. So, that's pretty cool to see. But yeah, so.
Nearly choked on my refreshment. Because you half marathon's on the Sunday.
Yes.
Okay, so probably you'll park on the Saturday.
Possibly. won't be in the plan, but I wouldn't be surprised if he pulls on the race director vest and just as Phil likes to do, go for a bit of a trot around the course and then just end up doing 5 kilometers, making sure that everyone's nice and safe out there. So
I mean we're seeing it in obviously through the trends in our signups and people, the history of what we see in their running journey and how they've landed at Run to PB, how they've landed in a position to get coaching. And a lot of it has been that cycle of starting park run, enjoying park run, enjoying running, learning more about running over time, wanting to progress from that park run to an event, learning more about the sport, whether it's through the content that's out there now, through all forms of media, the overall profile of the sport. And it's really attracting more people to look at, 5K onwards from the park run to transition towards other events like your marathons. And now, like you said, we're going to be in a position where we might have ballots for Australian marathons.
I would nearly put bets on that, Melbourne, even if they are able to increase the size of the field next year and hopefully most of the roadworks around the city are finished. But, even with a bigger field, I wouldn't be surprised if it sells out even earlier next year.
I had a call with earlier today with Dazzler, Darren Templeton from Run the Tan, and he's gearing up for next year. And we were just talking about that running boom and, he's got people coming to the run club and, it's across the board, you're seeing just new people involved in the sport, new clubs, new crews, new collectives, and a bunch of different people that weren't sort of involved at all with this sport. Now they're getting involved and loving it. So it's great to see, mate. I know around the 10, I'm noticing a complete shift in, or a continuing shift in just different people out there, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot more younger people. That's probably one trend I'm noticing, and it feels odd saying younger people because I still consider myself a younger person until I hang out with younger people, and then I realise that maybe I'm not. But running's cool. It is cool.
Yeah. Now.
You're seeing you jump on your Insta and seeing lots of cool photos and people wearing fancy gear, and it's the thing to do, pop out and do a Tuesday track session, bunch of K reps, go and have a really fancy coffee afterwards. And I'm loving seeing it. It's a slightly different vibe up here, but it's cool to see.
100%. It is definitely been a shift, and I think our lifestyles have probably changed in terms of our, it feels like everyone's working at a more rapid pace, and time is of the essence. So, people that were into cycling who would go, I'll get into cycling and I'll get all the gear, I'll get the carbon bike and I'll go out and ride for 4 hours or 6 hours. They're like, well, I'll just go and buy a pair of Vaporflies. I'll go and buy some fancy socks like Chriso and just do an hour run, and I get the same. Get the same sort of kick out of it, get my exercise in, got a group, go have a coffee, and I'm not out there for, it's almost like, when golf was the new, cycling was the new golf, and then running's now taken over the new cycling. Wow.
Oh, yeah. And probably get more kudos too on Strava for a run than a bike ride.
Well, certainly from our end. So. Yeah, talking about kudos, mate. It was a bit flying around in your week. Recovery week, 75 yes. K's in the bank.
Yes. Nice to, I never thought I'd say, nice to run a few less K's last week. I was pretty tired after the run at Bundoora. So lots of easy running till we got to Thursday. Originally, Andy had three sets of 4x400. And the legs, they just weren't quite ready. So erred on a side of caution and just jumped in with Anna for her progressive run. Started around sort of 450s and we were just moving it in chunks of 3Ks. So every 3K, we just get a little bit quicker. And the fourth block, we ran in the 410s. So, yeah, like I felt really good. And it was probably working a little bit harder. And then, yeah, a bit of a 2K cool down because we took that into Saturday where Anna did a long run session, and that was probably the reason for her why she didn't do, I guess, a real hard session on the Thursday, but pulled out the Westcott fartlek again. So one of Andy's favourite long run sessions, and definitely both one of mine and Anna's absolute faves as well. So it was pretty cool just to be able to jump in and keep her company. Obviously warm up and cool down either side of it, but a bit over around 17 and a half K. We ran and averaged 4.18s for that. So that's a session we like to do. Normally anywhere between 4 and 6 weeks out from a half or a marathon for Anna. And, yeah, she just responds really well to it. So stoked with how that went. I pulled up okay and then I think managed to go to the gym later that afternoon. Slept very soundly Saturday night, might I add. So, yeah, and then it's all been, I guess, leading up to Ballarat. 15K this Sunday, so pretty easy week again for the most part, but did do a 20-minute tempo today, I guess, to put the finishing touches on the prep ahead of the week.
20 are out the door, I saw, and nice photo. Is that AI generated that photo on your Strava, or is that actually your legs, shoes, and socks? Or
is that in the cool down?
Yeah.
So
well, you put some serious filters on this.
No, they aren't my legs. I'm not that talented. So copped a bit of a drive-by from a friend of the show, Liam Beecroft, who I'm not sure what was in his coffee this morning, but he was up and about, which is
up
great.
About, I mean, since the Carlton game. I'll get to that.
Yeah, has not piped down all week, but I think Liam's an absolute star and provides the best free content on Strava bar none. So it appears that he's got a new pair of shoes, and friends of the show that have been listening, particularly last week, will know that Zaka, you got the privilege of rolling a pair of the new Mizunos in the rainbow Technicolor Dreamcoat style that's just been released. Liam's got himself a set of those, and in his comments, look, his comments were going off. He's tagged me in one of them and was just wanting me to hit him up with a pair of socks, and I wasn't sure where I could put it because you can't stick a photo in the comments. Sadly, so I just tagged it in my cool down and popped him in there so that he could see it, and I think I got the thumbs up on that one. So
just another consulting gig for you, mate. Just send him an invoice for the sock.
Yeah, sock, well, almost, like most of my consulting gigs, it's unpaid and just doing it purely for the love. It is a hobby of mine, matching socks and shoes and all of that sort of thing. So,
dude, I think you're onto something there, man. I think that the people could just send you a message and you can just pick them an outfit, send them through some selections.
Could be my ticket out of NAB, actually. There's an exclusive. Look, leave it with me. I'll have to come up with a brand and all sorts of things. Actually, I know you might be able to help me with that, mate. Bit of some pointers in the right direction to come up with a gig, but we can certainly take that off air and discuss a bit further. But definitely not my legs. I've borrowed that straight from the In Silence page. I reckon I flicked this to you actually.
Yeah,
after the show last week.
I reckon it was maybe a different one. So maybe you're just customizing it for Liam's legs and mine.
Yeah. But no, so that's what that one was about. So hopefully if Liam does purchase those socks, I would actually love to see them, is the rainbow Technicolor Dreamcoat Mizunos, because they do look very cool. I'm not cool enough to pull those off, but
I've actually got some socks coming from our mates over at Oak this week.
Outstanding.
I've actually gone down your route, the blue and the pink.
Excellent choice.
So I've enjoyed the navy crew with the white stripe, but then you release with the pink. I'll be sure to send through a few color combinations and get you to do some consultancy for the combo.
More than happy to do that. Must say that Oak socks very popular with the Bendigo crew too. Particularly the blue and the white one goes with a lot. There's the Ernie Odd kit that is kicking around over there. But no, I took my Oat socks out for a couple of runs over the last week. Very much enjoying them. Big shout out to them again. If I can fit them in over the next few weeks, absolutely will be giving them a mention.
Just under the 20-minute tempo, 340s?
Mm. Yeah, average 340. I think wanted it to feel a little bit like, hopefully Sunday will, but I'll be honest, I probably worked a bit. If I could maintain the effort that I put in, I don't think the effort was representative of the pace today. Probably not the best sleep I've ever had, and early start, the fatigue was pretty high, I reckon, before I start this one. So knowing that it was only 20 minutes, I reckon I probably worked a bit harder than I was meant to, but it was
last K. Were you're down to 337s? Did it feel like you were pushing a bit? Or just hanging on?
No, like I felt like I was working. I certainly wasn't hands on knees or in any danger of going to see God at the end of the session. But I definitely finished going. Yeah, I don't think you had another 10K in you today.
Yeah.
I think I started out around 343 and worked it, like basically found a second or two. Okay, as we got rolling, and part of that was like it was three but felt like one when I ran this morning, so body was pretty cold, just needed a bit of warm-up time. So yeah, not that it's going to really be any warmer when we go over to Ballarat, but that's okay.
Half tights,
yes, half tights.
Ever do a session in long tights?
Used to, when we lived in New Mercury, used to do that all the time because I didn't actually own half tights when I lived there. So I prefer not to now. I just feel a little bit restricted on faster runs.
Yeah.
I've always enjoyed skins for my easier runs, but I just find the waistband small and a bit tight around the lower part of my abdomen, and just uncomfortable. So whereas the half tights and even my shorts just they just sit a bit more comfortable and don't push into my tummy as much.
Nice one, mate. So
good tune-up, happy with where things are sitting, but hopefully we can bank a bit more sleep between now and Sunday, and actually very happy with the 10 o'clock start, going to stay in Ballarat on the Saturday night. If all goes well, I'm going to have a sleep in. Absolutely pumped for that. But can't
last
wait.
Last 4 weeks, average 85K.
Yeah, very happy with how the body's responding. I think we'll see how we pull up from Ballarat. If the body feels good, we might push on and do Burnley. But if not, might call that a season, or maybe freshen up and have a good hit out of 10 relays. But we'll see. Just I suppose not really looking too much further in this weekend at the moment.
You're a bit of a 15K specialist, Chris, though.
I enjoy 15K. I haven't done it a lot, but I really enjoyed the run with Soph last year at Ballarat, and I've done a couple of 15Ks through Sri Chin Moy events as well. So
that's what I was leading to, mate. You've just into the into the archives back in 2017.
Williamstown,
you got the chocolates, mate, on the podium.
And, yes
everything came together on that one for you. And 3:39, so you ran 54:49, so a cracking run. And so that was the lead into
Gold Coast Half. Yeah, Gold Coast Half and then Melbourne Marathon that year. Yeah. So that's probably arguably the best year of results I've ever had, which had Brady was coaching me at the time. So need to pay full acknowledgement to Brady for that. So
do you know what's an interesting little tidbit? I found that on your Strava, you had the results screenshot of the placings. And in seventh, so you've got chocolates. 18 to 39 carries, so you're probably 20 at the time. But the seventh place, Jared Mills.
Oh, Jared from Columbia.
That's Jared from Columbia.
Wow. That's a scalp, actually.
So you've scalped him back, back in 2017. Pre-Columbia.
Pre-Columbia days, training at altitude and all that sort of thing. And
all the extras. Extra performance enhancing stuff he gets in Columbia. That's a good one.
Good day at Williamstown that day. Free pancakes, bananas. Yeah.
Took a gel. Is this obviously in the half prep?
Yes. Yeah, Brady encouraged me to do a gel. So I think I had a gel around probably 10K. Something like 10. Yeah, that would have made sense at the time, 11, I reckon.
12 it was. Yeah.
I suppose get the body used to processing a bit of sugar at that intensity. So, yeah, it was in the we didn't really have super shoes at that point.
I was going to say, the sock combo this is obviously not great radio, but the sock combo. So I don't know if you're at your finest back then on the sock combo game.
No, fair to say the income wasn't.
You've actually nailed. You've got the bright orange Steigens, and
I reckon I
want some Nike Flyknit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sending you a photo so you can have a look at it. But
I've actually still got those shoes. I still use them as casual shoes. Yeah. The Flyknits.
A good shirt. Yeah.
I love those shoes. They were good. I think they were a really popular training shoe for me. I'd worn them for a couple of years, and then it really started to. So I ran the Gold Coast Half in it. It was like some Zoom streaks, and I think they were the only race I ever did in them. I was super light, but banged up my calves and Achilles.
I was going to say, it's like the halves would have been. Yeah, I remember those. Like the Adi Zeros, you'd do sand down, and you couldn't walk for a week. Like you certainly couldn't session on a Tuesday off them.
The old Flyknit Zooms. Those ones. So a bit of a lower profile. And they felt amazing when you first put them on, but the lifespan of them wasn't great. But I remember that year, that was the year I got my first pair of, I guess, super shoes, and the version one of the Zoom Fly. So the Nike Tempo Zoom Fly, which I think retailed for around $240. Budget didn't extend to the next percent at that stage. So
they were also they were highly sought after as well at that point. They were restricted.
Very, very restricted.
People were hocking them on the black market. And,
Bit
of a trip down memory lane, mate. So the 15K when you're out there, you just remember that, channel some of that energy from Willie.
Well, it's funny. Like most of my PBs are from 2017. Like the half is the marathon, is it? Funnily enough, the 15K. Yeah. So all without super shoes too. So I'm hoping that with my advanced age now. With the help of some super shoes, that we can at least give that 15K a nudge on Sunday.
Yeah, I was going to see if you wanted to talk about the advances of super shoes, and the people in the media have obviously brought that up.
What I find funny, and I guess I have to be careful because I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but those that are regular on Twitter may have seen something to be able to put two and two together.
Yeah.
But what I don't mind people bringing up the topic of the super shoes, saying, hey, people are running fast. Well, hey, yeah, they are. Technology got better.
Yeah.
Guess what? When we first started running, we didn't have shoes.
Well, no.
So, you know, we get...
Oh, the 1956 Olympic marathon was 1:02:25.
Mm.
Like, or maybe it was, yeah, I think it was that. It was like something crazy and slow. Like, you know, it was progression. We were running on cinders. We were running, yeah, where do you draw the line as to it's sport, it's technology, like...
And the sport's evolved too. Training techniques are better. Like, you'd be pissed off with the sport if it wasn't getting better.
Yeah. I mean, because gels alone, you know, look what we're taking now. They weren't taking gels back in the 70s, 80s, 90s even. They were starting.
Oh, mate, for breakfast we were smashing a steak and some eggs and some bacon and a few sausages because you needed plenty of energy.
A few jelly beans in the back pocket and, you know, if you start to hit the wall, throw them down and, you know. Yeah, no, we could open a can of worms there and just start teeing off, but we won't. We've got our guest coming in shortly, so we'll probably keep moving, mate.
No, we will. We will. But, it's
really unleashed.
Yeah, maybe we can save it for another day because...
we'll get Mad Mitch on for it. I've been chatting to him. He's teed up soon to come on for a bit of a chat. And I think Madman would get up and about for a chat like that.
We get Mitch. I might have to come off the long run and drop some names. I might not be allowed back on, but if Mitch is keen and he's going hammer and tongs, I might have to throw my 5 cents in as well.
When is Mitch not going hammer and tongs?
No, that's what I mean. I just have to build up to it. We're going to have to save it for the end of the show, though, so the people listen all the way through. but that's okay. Just quickly, though, mate, because I know our guest is coming along soon. I want to recap your week because there's some genuine movement here. We're seeing some more Ks, a steady session, Saturday. Tell me about that. So a bit of 8.76. So something, there's a bit of meat here. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it ended up being a little bit bigger than planned. Well, not planned. It comes out by the time you got your recoveries in there. Yeah, 26-minute session, 8 minutes. Plan was just to sort of get in at that threshold, you know, wherever I'm at, which is sort of that. Trying to just use 350s, 340s as a bit of a gauge. It typically doesn't. I probably undersell myself thinking I'll get out the gates and I'll go on to 350s and that'll be okay. But I actually did it with Dave P and we probably were, I think the first K ended up being 338, but then did pull back a little bit. Probably was in around the 345 for the first 8 minutes and then felt it, like conditioning wise, still taking time, but I almost need 4, 6, 8 of these before things start to click, inclusive of the 4 weeks long run. You know, so I had that little disruption before when I was away, but then before that, I'd sort of been building to this point where I can at least get sessions going. And yeah, it's good to just work, feel it at the end. Felt better in rep 2. I think that's a good indicator that like I can get through the first, whereas I think my earlier sessions, I'd get through the first, be okay through the middle, but I'd start to really hang on where I was able to just sort of inject a little bit of pace in the back of the last 7 minutes. And then the 6, I just did 1 minute on, 1 minute off. Just, it would have been too big going all the way, 8.76. So the 1 minute on and off, there's not a lot of change of pace, and that's just a byproduct of not having done a lot of anything under this sort of 340 pace. So it becomes a norm, but it's a good way to try and get some turnover. And I'll start to incorporate some strides now in the next few weeks to help with that, the back of easy runs to sort of, you know, work on that. But yeah, it's coming together pretty well. A little bit of tightness through the body, knees pretty good, a little bit of tendinopathy through the Achilles, but that's just it's something I'm always managing, and I'm on top of it now, just doing the standard exercises. Had a catch up with Dane Verway from Run Culture. Actually got into his little gym and he worked through the Oh, one thing I did want to mention is, and we've given our man Liam Beecroft a bit of love early in the show, but he did catch me off guard as I was about 4 or 5 minutes into that 8 minute rep. And I'm running along and I've seen in the distance, I'm on the Yarra Boulevard. I've seen a bloke in the Carlton. I watched the footy tonight for Carlton Collingwood. Carlton got the win. Got a few Collingwood fans that are in the chat that were pretty fuming. Brady, one of them. And a few other people that I was enjoying giving a little bit of stick to. Anyway, we're chatting about the footy with Dave and the warm-up. And we're out there in the session and we just see this bloke running along in a Carlton jumper in the distance. I'm already, I'm starting to try and get into my work and I'm thinking, what is going on here? And then get a bit closer and then it's Liam and he's giving it hey, mate, how are you? And I actually blanked. He's running with Connor, Connor Dillon, who is the Vic Diesel engine around Richmond, rolls big Ks. And I think I've mentioned him on the show in the past.
Loves the lap of the MCG, does Connor?
Did 30K around the MCG. That's his claim to fame during some lockdown, maybe questionable rule breaking during that. Anyway, seeing Liam and I kind of really didn't know what to do because I was like half getting into the session, a little bit fatigued, trying to get going, half going, what is he wearing full Carlton jumper for? how comfortable would that be for the run? And then, it was a fleeting visit. Then I messaged him after and I said, I was having a go because I don't know if you saw the footy, but there were some free kicks that Kerner was getting and then people were talking about. Collingwood supporters were flying off the handle about it. And I said to Liam in the message, I said, I wonder if I presume you got a free kicks along the run. And he took it completely the wrong way because he came back saying, no, I don't get free shoes. I'm not a Mizuno model. It's meaning free kicks, as in, he's using the young people's term of kicks. So, did have me in stitches, Big Liam. And he did follow up, as he said, got on the rainbows.
Maybe I think you should probably go to Tom at Mizuno now and go, mate, I essentially sold you a pair of shoes.
Yeah. Tommy's very happy that people are buying Mizuno. But that was my little Liam story for the show. We'll probably try and bring one to the show, bring one every week.
Well, we should have a look at bringing the great man on.
Yeah.
Just spending a bit of time with him, a bit of an update leading into the Melbourne Marathon. But tell us a bit more about this Achilles, mate.
Just a little bit achy, a little bit, just wanted to, obviously Dane's worked with Dane in the past, run culture down, and he wanted to have a look at where I was at overall. We obviously in touch a lot, and he's still running quite well, and I've known him for a good part of 15 years of my running journey, and just good to catch up. Went through a bit of a strength program with him. I'm going to hit the gym probably 2 to 3 times a week, two pretty dialed in sessions. Not big. It's really like, it's almost like that phase of like getting fit enough to train. I'm doing it's strength work, but it's very basic, but it's getting the movements right, conditioning and quite energized to do that. And we sort of talked about pulling back some Ks to focus on those foundations to try and get going with that. I'll incorporate. I used to do a bit of spin bike when I was running really well. And when we talk about 2017, 2016 was probably when I was running my better times. And same time, I was actually in a gym just jumping in doing some extra Ks. So I'm not big on volume, but I find that the spin bike used to give me a little bit of. And the other thing that can do, and Dane talked about that, is it just get those quads stronger. Yeah, my biggest, got a lot of weakness through quads, calves and glutes, so all my legs, whilst I can run and I can go run and I can cruise around, if it's 70-80 minutes on Sunday, but to get to that next level and start to I'm not in any rush to progress it. I'd rather get it right and just get those foundations and so I'll keep you posted on that front. So it was good to do that, and I'll be hitting the gym, mate. There won't be much beach weights action going on though.
No, that's okay. Look forward to hopefully seeing a few gym selfies pop up on Insta over the course of the next few weeks.
I guarantee that's not going to happen. yeah, so we'll roll on, mate. More K's in the legs, and yeah, it's one of those, yeah, 4-6 weeks. It's just boring, basic, honest running that I have no issue doing. I'm actually quite, you know, it's nothing sexy about just getting out and logging K's and tinkering a little bit with the mileage, dropping it back, going up a little bit, and then take it from there, mate.
It's what it's about, though. Week on week, month on month.
100%. Well, our guest is arrived, so let's let him in.
Let's let him in.
Joining us back on the Better With Running podcast is Nigel Preston. He's a man who wears a number of hats. He's a race director at the Single Track Events, which has a number of events around Victoria that we're going to have a chat to about. He's also the Bendigo Bats CEO. And Chris O's giving me the thumbs up, so we're going with that. And welcome to the show, mate. It's good to have you back on.
Thanks, Zaka. Thanks, Chris. Good to be back with you. And look, I'll take CEO, maybe Bendigo Bat CEO. I don't know. I don't know if the pay is quite good for that title, but thank you.
We know behind the scenes you do a mountain of work, and you've done with all the team, and we were just chatting off air how cool it is. We won't go too heavy on the bat chat, but how cool the story is of the Bendigo Bats.
Yeah, it's been really great to see the growth over a few years. And I know we spoke about this last time, but just having growing from having 4 or 5 people running kind of six years ago to now we've got 100 people on our list that kind of are interested in different races. And it's just so nice to see. And actually, a lot of those people are run to PB athletes. And it does help that a couple of our team members like Andy Buchanan and Brady are coaches with Run to PB, so I think that often helps to kind of when they're looking and they're, you know, they're on that kind of cusp. You've probably got a few listeners. You might be listening now thinking, am I good enough for XCR? And often it's really nice for those coaches, as well as you, Chris and Zaka, to be like, yeah, you are good enough to go in these races. You can mix it up and compete. So that really helps.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, mate. It's Bundura, one of my athletes, made her debut and in the AV scene. And she's only really probably just done a handful of fun runs herself. So sort of come away from that with a new zest for racing, which was really cool. So
that's so good. And how did she go? Did she have a positive experience out of it all?
A newfound respect for cross-country racing and that just because it's 10K in distance doesn't mean we treat it like a 10K road race.
Yes, yes. Good coaching lessons right there.
Yes, it's a valuable lesson learned. But we're going to have another go in the 15K at Ballarat this week to, I guess, balance it out. And who knows, mate, we might have another member for the Bats Brigade into next year.
That's good. I'll send her the sign-up form. We've got 101 now on the contract.
Always recruiting. I love it. Hey, mate. We spoke last time we were chatting an O'Keefe challenge that went amazingly well as per usual. And you're over at Single Track Events. You've got a number of things coming up. We're going to chat about an event that we announced last week on the show that Run to PB is doing some partnerships with just in the background and helping out to promote the event, which we'll get to around the Puff and Billy run. But you've also got a few other events over at the Single Track events. Single Track. So what are some of those ones?
Sure. So we started this business out of COVID. Great time to start an event business. So we have the Buffalo Stampede, which is in Bright. I think it's now the third biggest trail race in Australia. Runs up and around the mountains of Bright, really great fun weekend, some really tough running, but really good. We've got a new one, which is Hounslow Classic, which is in the Blue Mountains in September, mid-September. That's a new one that we're taking on this year. And another one's a roller coaster run, which is in Mount Dandenongs in the Dandenongs. Yeah, really nice race there, 12K, 23 and 46. And it is like a roller coaster. It's just up and down the whole time, which is really fun. And like, you know, an hour from Melbourne CBD, like quite easy to get to the Dandenong. So that's a really great like intro race for people if they're thinking, oh, could I do a trail run? What would it be like? Yeah, it's a great one. Like the first time that we... What's up?
Where is that located, the trail?
Yeah, so we start in Kalorama. So we're all on the Melbourne side of Mount Dandenong, and you kind of come up Lilydale side of the mountain, basically park up there and then you run. Yeah, you run on the hills, you go past Burke's Lookout, which has got an awesome view right across the city, which is really nice. Unfortunately, that comes really early in the run. So that's like 7Ks in and you've just got to hurt like anything for the rest of it. But yeah, it's really good. My two sisters actually did that a couple of years ago and they are not trail runners, but they got around and they had a great time and they were really enjoyed the community of that. So that's a couple of our runs. And then Grampians Peaks Trail, so we're doing that in November. We've got a stage race there and a 100 miler, as well as a 50k option as well. So a bunch of different races in a bunch of different places now, including the Puffing Billy run. Yeah
Now we'll get to that. I'm noticing a few of your events have the stage race element. Is this a new, you're finding this is something that's growing and a request or demand for it?
Yeah, it is something a bit different. It's that kind of epic challenge, I think, about backing up, trying to back up day after day, and might be a little bit inspired by kind of your Tour de France kind of notion as well. Like, how would I go backing up each day? Yeah, so that there are a number of our races that have a stage race element. And so you might run 30Ks one day, 40Ks the next, 20K the next day, something like that. And that just adds a new level of challenge to people, which, you know, really stretches them.
I think if anyone wants any incentive to do that, any of the roller coaster events, is the finish line and the finishing banner. It's in the shape of the Luna Park mouth.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's fantastic. The big gantry, big finish gantry. It looks tremendous. And it's just such a cool nice spot. Yeah, nice spot for a run. And you don't have to go and queue yourself out there. It's a really good day out for that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we really try to set up at single track. We're all about like great races in epic places, if you like. And you know, the trails really set the tone for us about what we want to do, but we also are trying to be really inclusive for people who want to come and try trail running. So often we will put in like a 12k or a 16k, something that's a real taster for people. And you know, we say things like it's okay to walk out there, like if it's too steep, it's okay to walk sections, that's fine. You know, just come and participate and enjoy it. And whilst there is still a competitive element to it, there's definitely people at the top who are running really fast. It's more about people getting out and experiencing nature and getting out and having a goal race to really set themselves up for. Say, yep, I want to do that race. It's in a couple of months. I'm going to do that. So, yeah.
Ripping spot. I'm looking at the map, done a bit of running back in the day around that area in Dungala. Used to get out there. And back in, geez, even when we would either go Fernie or you'd go to Dungala, and there is definitely no shame in walking around there because there's some epic views, absolutely epic views.
There's some fantastic spots. Once you get up to the top of them, they're really great. And there's some, you know, some sections there. The zigzag track's pretty famous. A really good one, which is obviously a zigzag that zips down to Dungala from the Burke's Lookout that I mentioned. And then some really nice single track out the back of the stables there. And then, you know, just these long kind of burning climbs, but they're not super steep in some bits, but they're just quite relentless. And then when you get to the finish, you're thinking, oh, that's such a good feeling. And so, yeah, the 23 is one obviously one loop of that course and then the 46. So you do a full lap, of the 23 and then you do the second lap in reverse, which is a nice aspect of that race. And, you know, often people will sign up for the 46 and then get through the 23 and pull the pin, or they're just going, oh, wow, you just can experience a trail in reverse and it can look completely different. And you might know that from your own training runs, even if you run a loop in reverse or something like that, yeah. It doesn't feel the same, which is kind of cool.
So, I know Chriso loves a segment hunt, and there's the zigzag track downhill, and it's 590 meters, and it's 20.4%
-24.4%. -20%. Yeah. That sounds like it. Yeah, that's the one.
Lowest elevation 450, highest is 570, 120 meters, and you just absolutely send it down there. And the leader's done it in 149, I believe.
Yeah, it might have been Nathan Pierce might have done that, I think, or maybe Blake Hose might have.
Yeah, one of those guys. Either way, it's I'm just feeling my knees as I as I read that. But very cool, mate. Puff and Billy, talk about a few hills and some scenic route. Tell us about Puff and Billy.
Puffing Billy, the running festival is back. The chance for you to race the train, a 100-year-old train. And it's 9th and 10th of September, so not far away. We've definitely still got some spots available, and we are doing a special offer for Run to PB athletes. So Zaka will hit you up with that if you're on the mailing list. But it's coming back out of hibernation. A very well-loved race by a lot of people. First run in 1982, last run in 2019. So it's had 4 years out of action and a few changes. So moving from May to September, trying to catch some spring weather, trying to catch a spring break. Hopefully we get that. The week out from school holidays, which is obviously really suits a lot of people. Ideally, it's a good build up into Melbourne Marathon or Melbourne Half Marathon timing. But also we've split it over 2 days. So on the Saturday, we have a 1K and a 5K, all in Emerald Lake Park. In the 5K, you'll still race against the train, and in the 1K, we couldn't quite get the logistics of spinning a locomotive around, but the train will still be involved in the 1K on the Saturday. So that's really more of a family day out, which has not really been the case in the past because that course, as you said, Zachary, it's really challenging. It's quite hilly. It's not really for the kids, but that new activity on the 9th, it will be really great. And then on the Sunday, we do have the 13.5K Classic, which is the traditional route that has always been from Belgrave to Emerald. And then we also have added a half marathon, which has got some trail elements to it as well, some pretty decent elements. So, a 1, a 5 on Saturday, and then a 13.5 and a half marathon on the Sunday. So, it's great to have it back.
For sure. Hey, Nige, with the, I guess, an event director, most of us on the other side of the chair pretty much just turn up and we just assume that you're the person who tells us not to warm up on the course and get out of the way and you're always angry. But what, as an event director, what does that actually look like and what does it involve? Like, I've had the misfortune, I guess, for want of a better word, of actually seeing a bit of firsthand what's involved, and it is a lot of hours in terms of putting everything together. But for the people listening, what does the role of an event director actually take on?
Yeah, so this is very administrative in some elements creative, and a lot of conversation. So you've got to have kind of those three aspects of things going on. So from an administrative point of view, there's a lot in the case of Puffing Billy, so we run across two different council areas. For those listeners who haven't signed up yet, you run from Belgrave to Emerald. So you run through two different municipalities, two different council areas. So you've got to deal with two different council areas. You have to work with Public Transport Victoria. So a lot of people will catch the train or the bus to this event. So you have to talk with them. get permission from them. We use council roads. We also use Vic Roads roads. So we have to engage with those groups. Victoria Police, they get involved. Any road race, any fun run that's on a highway or a major road, you have to get permission from the police. We also engage a number of CFA groups. There's six different CFA groups we're working with. And also, obviously, Puffing Billy Railway themselves, there's a whole group of people who actually run a train. So there's a certain time frame that they need to operate to make sure that the trains don't go too fast or too slow, because part of the aspect is that you race the train. And then there's buses to and fro as well for participants as well. So that's obviously once they get to the end, we need to get them back to the start. So we do buses as well. And that's before you've really thought about time, like race timing, bibs, medals, you know, water stations, volunteers. We've got about 150 volunteers involved on the day. So there's lots of those administrative and planning and conversations. And then there's the creative aspect around, well, what's the best course look like? How do we make sure that this is going to be a really great experience from a runner's point of view? So we sort of put our runner's hat on and say, well, if I'm running this, what's the best way to do this? And actually was out running with John Dutton and Craig Appleby, who are a couple of
Emerald locals.
Yeah, a couple of great guys who I've known for a while. And yeah, we were just sort of running around and just getting some of those ideas from them about, well, how do we make this better for this group? And how do we do this better in this way? So that's kind of probably event directorship in a nutshell. And then there's the whole registration process, which we've got a team around who actually set up the bookings and take the bookings and manage changes and additions and all those sorts of things. And then there's the actual, that's before the event day itself, which is obviously a big rush, but it's also, if you've done all the planning and all the work, then it's not it can be the fun part as well. So
yeah. Sounds like a piece of cake, mate. Like, sounds pretty easy. Just knock it out overnight. Just get it going.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. I know. I'm just recruiting now for some people to come and work with me. And when I start talking to them about all the things, you can almost see them glaze over and just like running for the door. So that's a similar flow for, you know, those eight events. They've all got to go through those sort of processes in different ways. And, we are, unfortunately or fortunately, we're now in a really permit-driven society where you need a permit to put a sign on a sidewalk outside a cafe, and you definitely need a permit to run a fun run for 3,000 people plus across two council areas. But having said that, a lot of people are really supportive of this race in particular. It's really well-loved. It is iconic. It brings a lot of people into the area who don't normally come into the area. It's a real sense of pride. Where else can you race against a steam locomotive on a fun run? Like, what a great opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. I mentioned on the show last week, it was my first ever fun run. A lot of people have got fond memories. I mean, you're tying an iconic tourist destination into a race, and the novelty of racing a train, a moving train, and getting to the... Just on that, is it a secret as to the pace the train goes at? Where do you have to get across? Is it based on how fit the train is, how much training they've been doing?
Can we follow the train
on Strava?
That's a good idea. We've got some ranges with the train. So if people do go to the Puffing Billy Running Festival website, there's a plug to go and see. There's two trains. So one train will run roughly to 50 to 55 minutes, which is pretty quick on that course. And the other one will run in the 120 to 125 sort of range for 13.5K. But as you mentioned, Zaka, there are a couple of spots on the course where you have to wait for the train. Like there's no... like the level crossing removal project hasn't been out to Puffing Billy.
And security is pretty high there, so you can't do anything a little bit dicey.
Yeah, exactly. It's a
moving train.
Right. Yeah, if you jump the tracks, you're disqualified. So you do have to wait, and you have to kind of plan that into your race schedule. So, which adds a whole other element to it, right? That's a whole fun element to the event. But I'm sure you would have beaten the trains across the crossing though, Zaka.
In your day. I did, but I had some vivid memories of just the hearing the whistle whilst you're in the mountains and you're thinking, yeah, it's better get a move on here. Am I going to get stuck? And yeah, it is. If you've never done this event, you have to do it once as a runner to sort of a bucket list event, I think, in Melbourne or Australian running, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it is something else hearing that whistle because you can hear it for kilometres as well. Just thinking, how close is it?
Yeah.
And then the beauty, you know, when we get to the finish line, the driver then hops off the train and he runs across.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Will he be in the Vaporflies, the super shoes?
Yeah, I should put some Vaporflies on him, shouldn't I? That would be fun.
Yeah.
Vaporflies and half tights.
Yeah. Chris will style him, don't worry.
Yeah,
the driver.
I've got this.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, there's and we reward in a sense. I think it's the longest serving driver is the one who gets to drive the train, one of the trains, and then I think it's the second best or second longest serving driver who gets to do the second one, and they love it. They get so chuffed. So,
you've got Kipchoge behind the on the front carriage.
Yeah, that's right. Pushing it along. You know, and then family, like your family members can book. They can't anymore because it's sold out, but they can book a seat on that train. So you can wave to them as they run by. So just like the creativity around that idea is just awesome.
Really cool.
Mm.
Yeah, Chris, so you got any more questions around the Puff and Billy, or do you need to go into some other questions that you might have lined up for Mr. Nigel?
Well, no, I wanted to ask Nigel, mate, you've taken on quite a few fun runs, particularly over the last 12 months. Is there anything in particular that you look for in an event, I guess, before you add it to the list? Or, you know, what is it to you that makes a good fun run?
Yeah, what we're really looking for is that unique creative aspect to it. So I mentioned some of those things around Puffing Billy. One that we've taken on in Hounslow, it's called the Hounslow Classic. It's in the Blue Mountains, and that's in an amazing part of the Blue Mountains, but it's also brutally hard, like really hard. And so there is that real compelling nature of the course and the location that we think that will appeal to people. And we sort of put on our runner's hat and think, would we like to run that? And so that's a real element to that. We also want to get a sense that the local community or the area that we're working in, that there is some support, that we're not doing this event, we're not inflicting this event on people, that there is some local support to it, because that you'll find some headwinds. If you're doing an event that people don't like, you'll find a lot of support evaporates quickly. But if it's something that people want to do and they want to see and they get excited about it, then people will start really stretching for you. So they're the big things that we look for.
Love it, mate. Now, I think all the details on, we'll obviously put it all in the show notes. We've got it linked on our website as well. Puff and Billy is it puffandbillyrunningfestival.com.au,
and that's the one.
That's the way to go to it and jump on.
We'd love to see you there. Yeah.
Hey, Chris, you might have some questions for your fellow bat brother.
I do. Nigel's come on as a race director, but let's just hang five for a second and acknowledge that this man can absolutely run as well. Zach has done a little bit of research, mate, and pulled up some of your PBs. Is it true you've run a sub-9 3K?
I have, just one. Yes.
That's okay. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, look, it was a long time ago for me, but I, in my last year of high school, when I was in year 12, I was on the state cross-country team, and we went and ran over in Perth in a bunch of races, and one of them was a 3K as part of that weekend. And Yeah, it was one of those runs where I didn't actually wear a watch. And I almost always am like watch driven, but on that one, I didn't wear a watch. And I think that just made me think about other things. And, you know, I think I was less data focused, and I think there's probably something in that. So, yeah, it wasn't much under nine, but it was under nine. And I'll
8:46 is what I've
come. Yeah, to. I'll hang my hat
a bit
on
under
that.
Nine.
yeah, I've been trying to get back there for so long, and often talking to Andy Buchanan, one of the Run to PB coaches, about it, and he's always saying, oh, we'll give you a tow around the track and give it a go.
Hey, mate, that's pre-Super Shoes, probably on the cinders with your age.
Yeah, that's right. It was well past, well back. Yeah.
Love it.
Nigel's younger than me. No, deserves way more credit than that. 8:46 is absolutely flying. Watch for Sunday at Ballarat, or are we going to leave that at home?
Oh, good question. Maybe I should leave it at home
now.
Yeah,
leave it home.
Yeah.
Go naked.
Good. Just run to feel.
Yeah.
That's what we're about.
They're timing, mate. You got a chip. They'll give you an official time at the end. You don't need to know what's happening during the race.
Boys, I hadn't thought of that, but maybe this is the time to roll the dice and just find someone. There's enough bats around. I can just get in a group and just hang on. Yeah. I don't mind that idea, actually, because 15K is a bit of a... does your head in a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you get through sort of 6 or 7K and you're thinking, oh, that's still, I'm not even halfway.
Yeah.
But it's still windy in Ballarat. It's still windy everywhere you go, even though it's a circle. No, it's all right. That's a good thing to say, isn't it? But
Ballarat's a beautiful place in winter, I've been told.
So. Yeah. And I think it'll be all right this time out because it's early Sunday morning instead of the Saturday afternoon. Hopefully it's less windy, right?
Briso, did you come across something in on Nigel's socials over the weekend? Potentially a sash that was on the big fella?
I believe Nigel's just come off in great form, picked up a race W over the weekend. I have to check the photo, but perhaps was Taryn Folletti there? Representing the Bats, picked up a win as well, the South Bendigo.
The South Bendigo invitation. So in Bendigo, there's actually four local running clubs in Bendigo, and so we have four different invite races, and that was the South Bendigo one. I have to be honest and say that nobody else particularly showed up. But
doesn't show that, does not say that on the results.
That's right, exactly. Photo. Yeah, I didn't put that detail in the story, but and our clubs love giving out these lovely big sashes, almost a little bit like Miss Universe inspired sashes, if you like. Andy would have draws and draws of them, I reckon.
I think he makes a tent out of it when he stays.
But no, it was good. It was one of those runs where I was just thinking about Ballarat and just thinking, all right, we've got to just see how the body is before next weekend and do it as a test run. But it was a cracking day. Like winter has just disappeared and, could get around for the big sash. So I won some Scotch glasses as well. So that was really neat. I was stoked about the Scotch glasses. We should have more spot prizes and stuff in runs, shouldn't we?
Yeah. No. Oh, that is a random prize. I've got to say that for a fun run. But
might we be seeing some Scotch glasses at Puffing Billy?
Maybe. Look, no watches, Scotch glasses, big sashes. Maybe this could be a thing. Yeah,
I'm liking this. This could be a niche thing. Definitely a market for it. Mm.
Yeah. We all need more Scotch glasses in our lives, don't we? Or beer steins.
Yes. Mate, before we let Nigel go, I reckon you've got to get going with these quick questions because the big fella is a busy man. We don't want to keep him too long, but I reckon we can get him going on a few of these.
Looking forward to these answers too. Nigel's a very educated man, so I'm awaiting some of his wisdom here, but... I know we've just talked about not wearing a watch on Sunday at Ballarat, but when you do run with a watch, mate, what are we wearing?
Oh, Garmin 245 Music.
Good choice. Nice. Nice. Do you normally have the tunes pumping away?
I did today, actually. But I felt devastated because 2 days ago I tuned it up, hadn't used it for a while, and then my headphones went flat like a song.
Oh,
and I had to be into the
room. Oh no.
And I was like, oh no. And I've got
We've all been there.
Yeah, but no, it's a great watch. It's really good.
We're listening to Beats or podcasts on the run?
Ooh, lately it's been Beats, but I'm in a season of music at the moment. Yeah.
Nice. Any recommendations?
Oh, music wise. Gosh, that's a tough call. But look, I just listen to music. I have a Spotify playlist that I do each year. I think it goes back to 2016, and I name it the name of the year. And whenever I hear a song on the radio, I just add it to the Spotify playlist. So that's on the 2023 list at the moment. What's on there at the moment? There's a bit of like Post Malone, and there's a bit of that Dead Club City song. Yeah, there's some good, you know, some stuff to keep you going. Just anything you like, just put it on the playlist.
That's a good little hack there. I like that.
Thought of doing a top 100 countdown New Year's Eve.
Maybe I could. Yeah. It does really help when you want to do your hottest 100 votes. That's it.
No, I like that. Good stuff, mate. Being a race director, you spend a lot of time on the phone. What phone are we using? iPhone, Android?
iPhone. Yeah. Uh-huh. iPhone XR. It's does look a little bit worse for wear, but it's hanging in there for me.
Battery life.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I know you've sort of had a few niggles and injuries over the years, but favorite gel for long runs? Do you get a chance to pop many gels out on the long runs on the Sunday with the bats, or how are we traveling there?
Yeah, good question. I have tried a few. I generally land with the Endura gels, but I don't mind the Spring Freeze. They're probably in my top two. I wouldn't mind getting on the Mortons though, because I feel like every man and his dog has been raving about Mortons. So we'll see what spring looks like, and maybe I'll make a change from the Enduras. But I've been on those for a while, and they seem to sit well. And you do try a few, and then some you just go, "Well, that was a bad experience." But Enduras have been good, so yeah, I've stuck with those.
I reckon if you'd like to try some Morton, maybe just slide into Andy's DMs. He might be able to assist.
Yeah, right. I know there was a hustle before Gold Coast Marathon weekend where the bats were sort of almost doing a little black market on the Morton because some people were a bit jealous. So.
Yeah, that's very, very hush-hush, that one. But yes, no, I'm sure Andy will be able to help out.
Andy's DMs will light up after this.
Yeah. Oh, won't just be Nigel sliding into them. Yeah. Sessions, mate. Got a favourite session that you like to go to? Whether it's might be a hill session, track. What sort of you go to? What do you like?
The one that immediately springs to mind is 6x1K, and it's very boring. I'm sorry, but
I love K reps.
We love boring.
that is always such a good indicator of what you're going to do, and then it is for me. Sorry, and then I can, if I'm running a 10K, I think, well, I did six of these in training, so I should be able to hit about that. And then the other one is I like a good hills threshold hills. So we have a couple of spots in Bendigo, and some people will laugh because Bendigo is generally pretty flat, but we've got a couple of spots where we do like six hills, then a 3K threshold, then six hills or 10 hills, and then maybe another threshold. And that's, I just really enjoy that variation of the session, and also that sort of mental game of going, okay, I've done those two, I've got to do two more, sort of that mental change up of the different paces as well. So certainly longer stuff. I know some people will prefer like a 400 or a fartlek or something like that, but for me, I much more enjoy the longer sessions. Yeah.
Good stuff. A couple of quick ones on the K reps. Are we jogging or walking or standing the recoveries?
Oh, good question. Usually standing for me.
Uh-huh. Nice. Yeah. And 60 or 90 seconds?
Well, try for 60. Sometimes it needs to go to sort of 75, 90. I often honestly find 90 a bit too long.
Yeah.
But depends on the pace I want to hit, I think, as well, and how fit. But yeah, normally 60 would be the go. Yeah.
Good stuff. I reckon I know the answer to this one, mate, but do you prefer to run alone or with the group?
Ooh, I like both, but I certainly enjoy the group aspect of it. Yeah, group.
And sometimes a bit of thinking time is good, but yeah, it's more fun in the group.
Yeah. I definitely sessions need to be in a group now for me, just in terms of that getting up a bit more and running a bit harder. I can do that with a group rather than solo. Yeah.
Yep. Half tights or split shorts?
Oh, wow. You're really digging in, aren't you?
Yeah. Look, yeah.
This doesn't leave a stone unturned here.
This does, doesn't it? Wow. Look, in my trail races, I do a few trail races now, and I tend to go the tights. I tend to like those in those trail runs because you can stick some gels and you've always got to carry mandatory gear, which you can usually use some pockets for in the tights. It's a long answer to a short question, but on cross country and stuff like Ballarat, I'll be wearing the split shorts. Unless it's super windy, and then I might go the tights. So, yeah.
No, good choice. Hey, favorite running sock?
Oh, Features is the go-to for me.
Like you've been influenced by Andy there.
Yeah. That does help. And when we do Indigo Bats team sock, and it's... Yeah. The nice shade of blue, you're like, oh, that's quite a nice sock. But I am wearing Steigens right now, so I'm sort of split between those two.
Do you have a favorite color or just whatever the first pair is you grab out of the sock drawer?
Oh, the Features, the Blue Wave Features, which is now discontinued, that's the go-to. But the Steigens, I just go the black all the way. I bought like 8 pairs recently, and I was like, yeah, that's great. Yeah.
My wife's exactly the same. Nora loves just a black pair of Steigens. I've got all the colours in the house, and that's how she knows what socks are hers. They're just black.
So good. Like, Features are amazing, very comfortable, but they do get quite hot in summer. So that's where you go, the Steigens, and they're a good summer sock option.
Nice and thin. No, I like that. Hey, track, road or trails? What's your favourite surface to run on?
Oh, I think trails. Yeah, definitely trails. And I think that's fed into the business that I do as well. Like, I enjoy running trail stuff. And trails for me.
Good stuff. Favorite shoes, both for easy days and race days?
Oh, yeah, good question. Okay, so I've been an ASICS guy for a while, but I do. So usually ASICS Nimbus, but I didn't particularly like the new one. I'm running in ASICS Nova Blast 3 at the moment, which is going quite well. And then I generally alternate with a New Balance 1080. And then I've got some trail shoes, which is Solomon, for going off road. And my current running shoe, race shoe, is the ASICS Meta Speed Sky or Edge. I think it's the Edge. I should probably know. I spent quite a bit on those. more for a heel striker. And I'm a bit out of the box there, but I tried the Nikes and they didn't work for my foot. But if I ever look at any running photo of myself ever, I'm heel striking. And I've found that they've been quite good in terms of heel stability versus some of the other shoes. And the ASICS Meta Speed insert model there. They've been all right.
I like this. So Gemma will be absolutely high-fiving over that. She'll be absolutely thrilled that fellow runners absolutely loving their ASICS. It's good.
I'm in the ASICS family for sure. And just found them, got fitted really well about 10-12 years ago, and just haven't really looked back. So
a couple more to finish off, mate. Morning or evening runs, what do you prefer?
I do enjoy the morning. That's a good good choice. Although I do enjoy sessions in the evening or the afternoon. Can I have a bet each way on that?
Absolutely. Yep. That's all right. This is choose your own adventure. You can play it any way you like. Interested here, mate. If you could only eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, wow. What's the first thing that I think of? Probably some form of pasta. I know that's really boring, but
not at all.
It seems to be popular amongst the runners. It's trending. Don't worry about that.
With pasta, are you making this or are we buying it somewhere or what are we throwing in?
Oh, gee, if I'm making it for the rest of my life, then I'm probably going down and getting a pasta press or something, aren't I?
Yeah, it's got to be fresh.
Making it, hanging it up in the kitchen. Yeah, I think that's what I'm doing for the rest of my life. And then, you know, you got some variations on the sauces then, right? So that's not a bad option. So, yeah.
Good stuff. Hey, favorite Aussie runner and why?
Whoa, yeah, good question. Look, there's so many. I'll throw in a female one and say Eloise Wellings.
Good choice.
She's done in terms of both standing up for her faith over a long period of time and doing some great work from a faith-based point of view. I'm a Christian guy, so I really relate to that. But also, if you think about her story over a long time, the setbacks of qualifying for the Olympics and then not making the Olympics and then finally making the Olympics for a completely different distance, I think she's been, supreme. And she, just still leads the way in so many respects. I think she's been super. She's probably the pick that comes to mind.
Very nice. And last one from me, if you could choose any location in the world to go and do a training camp for running, where would you go?
Oh, I'm influenced as well by Andy, but he keeps telling me about this place called St. Moritz.
Well, yeah. Andy's paying for this one. So
yeah,
this coming out of his monthly
fee. Yeah, I'll send him the bill. So I'd have to do a training camp there, even if I only lasted 2 days and was completely hooped.
Yeah. As long as you got a selfie, you got a photo on the track.
Exactly. That would be it. Other than that, maybe Boulder in Colorado. I've heard that's pretty awesome. There's a guy here in Bendigo, Leon Griffin, who was a pro triathlete for a long time. He lived in Boulder and raved about running there. So that might be choice number two. If Andy's checks bounced, then I'd go to Boulder.
Love it, mate. There's some great answers in there. And thanks for jumping on. Thanks for sharing a bit more about Puff and Billy Race and about single track events and what you guys are doing. It's really exciting. And I think a lot of listeners will be keen to jump on and have a look at what you got to offer over the rest of the year.
Absolutely. Yep. And as we spoke about earlier, Chris, with your athlete at Bundoora, you know, every run's a chance to learn a few things about yourself. And I hope that's what some of our racers do as well. You know, you can go in with a plan and then sometimes the plans work and sometimes they don't. And that's what we really like to do. Just put out that goal race and give people the chance to toe the line and have a go. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, mate. Good luck on the weekend. And put the watch in the glove box and go for it.
The challenge is set now. I'm going to have to
back up. All right, mate. We'll speak soon.
Hope to see you run again soon, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Always fun to have Nigel on, Chris-o. And, it's going to be cool. We'll see you guys toe the line together in the Bendigo Bat Singlet this weekend.
It'll be good. Nige will be well in front of me. So I'm interested to see if he does go with my watch or not.
All about when you see him on the turnaround.
I'll be checking. If I'm close enough to him on the start line, I'll definitely be checking to see if it is there.
Yeah. Hey, mate, a bit around the grounds. There was a little event that you had on at down in Shepparton over the weekend.
We did. So we had our Shepparton Runners Club 10K handicap on. So once a year we pop a 10K race on. Normally they're much shorter races, sort of anywhere between sort of 1500 up to about 5k. But this is our longer one as preparation for the Shepparton Running Festival. So a chance for some of the team to have a bit of a hit out. And I think we had 33 come along and have a run. And there's a few of the run to PB guys there. So like Chris Nicholson ran a tick under 45 minutes, Mel Hiscock 54 minutes, Chelsea Nicholson broke an hour again, coming off Gold Coast, and our man Phil ran 58 minutes as well. So
were they running together, or was that a bit of a kick finish, 3 seconds separating them?
Yeah, a bit of a kick finish from Chelsea coming over the top of Phil there at the end. So Phil's training for the half, and so is Mel. Chris and Chelsea are both going to run the 10 at Shepparton, along with a host of other runners in my group as well. But no, it was pretty cool.
20 odd athletes across. I know you might have 15, 16 in your group potentially, and there's a few run to PB athletes, couple of coaches getting involved. So we're going to have a bit of a tent marquee set up down there. So exciting, mate. It's going to be a cool event.
Looking forward to it, actually. It's pretty cool. For a regional event, they're actually going to have so many run to PB people along. Because I think even if we look at Wellness Run last year, we probably had similar numbers there.
Yeah.
So, to get that regionally will be awesome. But, yeah, hopefully we can get the marquee set up and, make a day of it.
Yeah, it's going to be cool, mate. Hey, from Shepparton, there was on the same – oh, actually, were you on the content? Was that your handiwork?
That was.
Socials?
Yeah.
A low-angle shot?
That was a bit of lazy market or digital media recording. So I pretty much just put my phone down on the ground and turned it on to capture a video and cropped the living daylights out of it to about 15 seconds. I think it ran for about 4 or 5 minutes. I really just wanted to capture everyone running past there at the start. Taryn, one of my athletes, she came down to watch, and there was a bit of us talking, so I'd edit that out. Probably not safe for the masses. A bit of dark humor going on there. So there's a few photos as well, but nice. No, I think I'll definitely leave the digital stuff to you, mate. You've got far more talent than I do.
Over at Albert Park, Park Run. One of Madeline Heiner's athletes had a big PB, big breakthrough run at the Albert Park event. So she's had 5 runs in the last sort of 12 months between 20 and 2010. So 20 minutes and 10 seconds. So super consistent, just trying to get that sub 20 and made it happen. It happened and she cracked it. 19:59, job done.
Job done. It's Mel that we, Mel Spano, who's talking about. So give you a shout out, Mel. Great effort. And I know, but 5 efforts between 20 and 2010, where those few seconds, whilst they're all great individual runs, just to sneak under 20, there's just that extra bit of satisfaction. I mean, PB's a PB, no matter by how much, but to just break into those 19s, I bet she would be absolutely thrilled. And so is Maddie as well. Often see both those ladies together at events. A few selfies that tend to pop up every now and then. So very cool for Mel and also Mads to help her get that breakthrough as well. So good.
Particularly when you're getting out and you're doing a few where it's a 20:05 and a 20:06 and you're tinkering with things and you keep showing up, persevere, work together at the race plan, and then it's come off in spades. So massive congratulations to Mel Spano on that breakthrough run.
A great effort by Mel. And also, speaking of great efforts, Katie Dahl, she's at it again. A bit of a different event this time, mate. River to Rooftop.
Katie over the journey a number of times. She's done some unbelievable things, some charity ultras. She's done some marathons, some backyard ultras. now jumped on the river to rooftop train and gone up the steps and was the fastest female going 55 floors up in 8 minutes and 20 seconds. So yeah, 18th overall as well. So like absolutely smoked it. First out of 158 in her gender category. So what an amazing effort that was.
All those hills paying off, mate, right there.
Mattress is a mad advocate for the hills. So he, this would be just strike a chord with him, wouldn't it?
And oh, I'd be interested to see if we put a few coaches to the test over the steps. I believe that, you know, river to rooftop involves 1,040 steps, which, yeah, I can't comprehend that. I'm no good with heights, so buildings with stairs.
I can't go up stairs without a rail, so I've been on.
done, Katie.
Yeah, you take this step down.
Sorry, mate.
You get the lift back down or do you just step it back down?
Lift all the way. Would not even have to ask. I'd crawl, literally crawl to the lift, get in, and I'd probably sit in it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well done to Katie. Mate, that's about us, although we do have a little, we did come across something on our friends over at Canadian Running Magazine. We've had a week off from the world record chat, but talking about Kiwi women doing amazing things. Katie is originally from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
About this one, Kiwi woman crushes a 48-hour treadmill world record. So New Zealand's Emma Timmis spent her weekend in the gym, mate, in the gym, knocking out 340 kilometers on a treadmill. Yeah, it's you're shaking your head. That viewers can't, the listeners can't see that. But
no, it's because I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. That I probably am not getting enough sleep at the moment, and the fact that someone stayed awake for 48 hours at the moment is mind blowing enough for me. Like if someone said, "Hey, I stayed up for 2 days straight," I'd be like, well, clearly you're on some sort of substance, like you're weird. Like that's just get off the gear.
Yeah,
but Emma's done this on what I'm assuming to be probably enough caffeine to drop an elephant. And to roll 340 k's in the space of 48 hours, that's, I'm hoping our dear friends at Canadian Running Magazine probably put together what sort of average pace that is over that time. But my lord, yeah, look, that's, doesn't sound that impressive, but over 48 hours, I was hoping it would be a lot.
It's 48 hours though, Chris.
Yeah, I was hoping it was a bit like 6 minute K's or something like that.
Yeah.
But
so you, the treadmill's got to be on for the 48 hours, so. Like if you're having a cat nap on there and the treadmill's still going and it's just rolling along at loss, does that still count? Or you've actually still got to be in the act of running?
Oh yeah, good point. I would sleep have
running,
to...
like sleep walking, but just, you know.
See, I've got running. Some questions. This is where I would love to have Emma on and just ask a few of the real sort of hard hitting, interesting stuff. Like
Emma's gone to sleep for a few weeks. She's not waking up for a long time.
Unavailable comments at the moment for obvious reasons. But, you know, how'd you go to the toilet? Eating? You know, what were we putting into the body? Like, did you get bored? You know what those gyms are like.
It wasn't quite just the, yeah. She just said I went to some dark places, you know.
Dark?
These dark's an understatement.
The only dark place I'd want to go after that is the inside of my eyelids. Amazing feat of human endurance. The main, probably the big question, other than what happened when you need to go to the toilet if you weren't allowed off the treadmill, is why? That's... That's at a fitness club in Christchurch. I wonder if there was a crowd. You know, people turned up and watched this. Like, Imagine if you went to the gym early Saturday morning, and, you know, not as late.
You want to get on. You're waiting to get on and you just
like, hey,
10
hey,
hours.
Yeah, like, oh, I'll go and do some calves. I'll
yeah.
I'll come back.
She'll be off in a minute.
Yeah, like I just want 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not too much to ask her. Bloody hell, she's still on there. Anyway, you come back at Sunday lunchtime, it's like she hadn't moved. Well, guess what? She hadn't. She was still there.
Yeah. Talk about hogging the machine.
Well, I don't know. Like there's probably a gym
etiquette. Yeah.
Rabbit hole to go down. But one of my athletes, Felicity, does almost all of her training on a treadmill. Now
she's based in
Stanhope, which is actually at near where Laura lives.
Okay.
At Corot.
Yeah.
Where Laura likes to get outside. Felicity's no. You give me that treadmill. She loves the treddy. She's got her own treadmill, but occasionally ventures into the gym in Kyabram. And this is where Emma would come unstuck. So the treddy at the gym in Kyabram switches off after 20 minutes. And there's a sign on it that says, please respect other gym users and stick to your 20-minute time limit. Not good.
No, not cool. They, in Emma's defense, it's not like she just loves indoors and treadmill. She's in 2022. She broke the record for the fastest crossing of New Zealand on foot by female, completing the trek from northern town of Cape Reinga to southern town of Bluff in 20 days. It's averaged about 100K every day. Had some running in there. Went through extreme heat and a bunch of issues that come along. Back in 2017, set the record for the longest journey by elliptical cycle in a single country, traveling 7,000 kilometres. And then just before that, 3 years earlier, did an 89-day run from the Atlantic Ocean to Namibia. Namibia to the Indian Ocean of in Mozambique, covered 3,900 k's. So yeah, she said that was the toughest thing she'd done in her life. But yeah, I don't know. Like, fair to say, doesn't mind the endurance events.
So what you're telling me is this 48-hour jaunt on the treadmill was pretty much nothing more than what we would consider a 30-minute shakeout.
She actually came off in the comments in the presser and said it was a practice run for a larger challenge that she plans and tempting, but she's keeping the details of that big goal under wraps.
I'll tell you what, if she's got something big happening and she's actually referring to as big and that was a warm-up, like, well, that's the mind just cannot comprehend what is.
Imagine rolling into the water cooler at the office on the Monday and asking Emma what she got up to on the weekend, and maybe if you open up to say you went out to dinner, played some golf, hanged out with family, did a few things, did a few chores around the house, and she drops it that on you over the weekend, what she got up to.
Yeah,
you'd feel the bit like you underachieved over the weekend.
Or you just drop the ultimate flex and you go, just the usual, just went for a run. Oh, yeah, how far did you go? Oh, 340K. Yeah.
Just 48 yeah. hours.
48
why you
hours.
Got four, why are you holding four coffees?
Yeah. You're shaking. Is everything all right? Do you need me to call someone? You're probably a paramedic if that's okay. Oh, wow.
Well done to Emma.
Emma, great effort.
I couldn't last an hour on a treadmill, to be honest. I don't think I've ever gone an hour on a treadmill. I've done runs in Asia where I may have gone, or in heat conditions to 40, 50 at a max, and I'm over it. I would have done running on a treadmill less than 20 times in my life. Cannot stand them. Cannot stand them. So, yeah, you're not going to see any attempts of anywhere near that level on my side.
No, mate, my first marathon back in 2010, I trained almost exclusively for on a treadmill. Longest run end up being around 2.5 hours, and even on a treddy. And much to Nora's disgust, and look, for we just moved to Newmarket, and I didn't actually know anywhere where I could run safely and do a loop, so I just ran inside, just to explain why not, because that's what I preferred to do. It was just what we did. But so that I could practice running and drinking at the same time, I had a little table set up next to the treadmill, and the drink of choice at the time was great Gatorade. Let's just say that trying to drink great Gatorade and running on a treadmill is not good for the plasterboard on the wall, the deck.
Carpet? The carpet. Oh, yeah, outdoor?
Indoor. No, we were inside so that I could watch TV. Because, yeah, probably wasn't the best way to spend my time. But the treadmill deck was that sticky that when I ran, it basically sounded like I was grinding sandpaper with my shoes. May have helped for the marathon actually develop a bit more leg strength, because really had to lift the shoes towards the end of a long run. But can honestly say that Nora's probably never been more furious than those long runs that I did on the treadmill, trying to learn how to drink sports drink, whilst I proceeded to spill most of the contents all over the house.
Bit of abstract art on the walls, mate.
In that sort of real sort of lavender purpley colour.
Pro Heart. Do you remember Pro Heart?
Pro Heart. I used to love the ads where he'd sort of get spaghetti out and swirl it all around the carpet and make the photos. I think that was probably me as an aspiring artist when I was about 5 or 6. Although I didn't realise it at the time, that well, probably a bit younger than that, let's be honest. I was still throwing my food around at that stage, it wouldn't have been frowned upon. But was a Pro Heart fan as a young kid.
I think Nora's undervalued your artistic abilities there, mate.
Yeah, look, probably something that we'll never get the chance to revisit, I don't think. We have gotten rid of our treadmill, and just getting a bit of a hint from Nora now that there's not to be sort of too much more discussion or Gatorade to be shared in the house whilst moving at the same time. Does not rate my coordination skills of running and drinking. But, and it was a learning experience. I think that's how we frame it now these days, is positive reinforcement.
On that note, mate, I think before you get a vapor fly thrown at you, you better wind it up, mate. And it's been a big episode. Been good fun catching up with Nigel. And we'll be back next week. We'll have a recap from your race.
Yes. Yes, I will be running with a watch. I'm not that brave. So, no, looking forward to seeing how it all comes together. And also, mate, from you, just hearing about your week and the new strength routine, and hopefully casual gym selfie as well.
Yeah, I'll try and get on that treadmill if no one's on there for 40 minutes.
Make sure you book a spot. I've heard they fill up pretty quick.
All right, mate. We'll chat again next week.
No worries. Thanks, mate. Chat soon.
See you, mate.